For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Signature Select Classic Ham, shank half or whole, bone in while supplies last, just 89 cents per pound. Enjoy 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries. Buy two, get two free of equal or lesser value when you buy four. And mix and match Nabisco snack crackers, Ritz crackers, Cheetos, Doritos, Tostitos, or Sun Chips, selected varieties and sizes. Buy two, get two for free when you buy four. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're very early in the season, and this season, as you know, is going to have ups and downs inevitably. There's going to be some valleys. There's going to be mountaintops. We got a really special club. We got a really special ball club. We believe in ourselves, and I think that's extremely important. You know, we're very present in that. We're really grateful to have some great leaders in Craig and the staff that are guiding us, and we're ready to just go compete today, and that's what matters. So I'm excited about what's ahead.
Score Midday Show, 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
That was Matt Boyd on the Midday. Well, no, he wasn't on with us, the Midday Show.
Inside the clubhouse.
Yeah, and Matt Boyd, that's the second interview he's done with The Score. He was also on with the afternoon show. And I have appreciated the Matt Boyd interview experience.
His interview on Inside the Clubhouse is definitely must-listen. Get into the Odyssey app. Go find the show. Go to the chapter where they interview him. I was listening to it out in Naperville because, you know, that's where I spent my Saturday. And I was like, okay.
Go to the Topgolf?
This guy is giving me life. No, but I didn't even know there was a Topgolf. But then I recognized, you know, the screen. And like, oh, there's a Topgolf over there because you could see it from far away.
Did you leave any, weapons in your car?
Oh, is that the Topgolf
yes,
that we're always talking about?
Yes.
I didn't even put two and two
yes.
together.
What?
I didn't even put
no,
two
the
and two
other Topgolf?
I don't know how many Topgolfs
how
there are around
land
here. It's a major
it,
metropolitan area.
Do you know how much land it's required to have a Topgolf?
There was a Topgolf in Huntsville, Alabama before there was a Topgolf in Naperville. I promise you that.
That's my point. Yeah. Much land is required.
Much land is required. We got plenty of that down
south. So you think, right, but not here. So you think they just are around?
I didn't know if there was one out west, one down south, one up north.
You went to the star of our show. You went, and not Marshall's not the star, and I'm not the star. No. The Topgolf Naperville is the star of our show,
is it
and you
the top
didn't even
golf
pay
Naperville,
homage.
Or is it the Topgolf Naperville police reports? That they're the stars.
That's not the point. Like, you didn't.
Okay, my bad. I messed up. You're right. I should have put two and two together. I did not.
It's like going to Mecca, not going to Mecca.
Listen, man, I was hanging out in downtown Naperville at a little wine shop, going to a wedding.
I've heard their downtown is nice.
Shout out to my boy,
Jamal. I want to go, actually.
His beautiful bride, Akenna.
Yes, Jamal. Congratulations.
Yeah, yeah. Good times out in Naperville. Spent all day there.
You went to the Naperville Topgolf and you didn't.
I didn't. No. I could see the Naperville Topgolf off in the distance. It was probably at least a mile away, but the nets are so tall.
You should have gone there to the parking lot and taken a picture of yourself.
I don't want to get pulled over. It sounds like it's high risk activity going on in the parking lot at the Topgolf.
Somebody go to the Naperville Topgolf and take a picture because Marshall didn't.
Speaking of high risk, speaking of high odds that something's going to happen, the Cubs looking like a World Series winner, according to Baseball Reference.
Baseball Reference is loving the Cubs' performance so far this month. You know, the one that we were stressed out about, the month of April. Hell Week continues, by the way, with the Dodgers tonight. You know that. That game you can listen to right here on The Score, BT Dubs. That's a home game, 6:40, a first pitch, so that's fun. Getting back to the numbers from Baseball Reference, We know the Cubs are 14-10 through 24 games, top of the NL Central. But the excerpt is this. MLB playoff odds are based on 1,000 simulations of the rest of the season and the playoffs. The team's estimated quality is determined by their performance over their last 100 regular season games, even if it spans seasons, and includes a regression to the mean factor. What does that mean? It means it tries to control for variables. What do they come up with, you ask? Baseball Reference right now has the Cubs as the highest percent chance to win the World Series at 17.6%.
Well, that's actually gone down, 16.7%. I'm looking at this morning's updated ranking. So,
oh, yeah, I'm looking at yesterday's, and that's a better number at 235, but that's not the point. The point is they're still the highest.
They are the highest. The next highest team, this might shock people, the Detroit Tigers at 14%.
See, that's where it changed in the past few hours.
So
it was the Padres at 13.7 yesterday.
So it's great because in this table that they give you on Baseball Reference, right? They'll also tell you what the change was a day ago, 7 days ago, and 30 days ago, aka the beginning of the season, right? So the percent chance for the Cubs to get to the playoffs has gone up 33.7%, which is the largest outside of the Detroit Tigers' chances, which have gone up 37.1%. That's to make the playoffs.
Imagine if they had Alex Bregman.
Imagine if they didn't go 0-2 in Japan.
Oh, I was talking about the Tigers having Alex Bregman because they were supposedly the second team. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's tough.
And then my list has the, because this is 235 yesterday, my list has the Diamondbacks at 9.5, Yankees at 9.5, Mariners at 6.9, Astros at 6.4, Giants at 4.5.
So the updated winning the World Series, the Padres now at 13.2%. The next highest odds, Detroit Tigers leading the American League at 14%, which is kind of crazy when you think about it. They're 13-8 this season. They must have played a pretty tough schedule so far. And then in the National League, the Padres 13.2%. You mentioned the Diamondbacks now 9.9%. Everybody else has got lower odds. Although the Astros at 7.7% to be noted.
And I think the important part to note here is that normally you don't care about this on April 22nd, but given the Cubs' performance against some of the best teams in baseball, having the toughest schedule of any team so far, and then having the easiest schedule from here on out, those are good numbers. I wonder how they factor in the lack of Justin Steele for the rest of the way of the season. Is that something that they can put into that? Probably not, because it's based on numbers and previous data. But the reason for all of this is because they've got the best offense.
Scoring 6 runs per game. Don't know if that'll hold up specifically, the 6 runs per game, but they are leading Major League Baseball in runs per contest. And they're doing it even though you could say some of the players that you thought would be doing more aren't doing more. They've already had to send down their starting third base, their opening day third baseman. They've already had to send him down. Dansby Swanson's not giving you a whole lot at shortstop right now. But the young players are doing big things, whether that's Miguel Amaya, Crow Armstrong, obviously Michael Bush in that cleanup spot, even though occasionally he will be pinch hit for in the cleanup spot, which is not something that most of us see as normal. But let's be honest, it's working right now. So much, in fact, that the Cubs... Here you go. So, like, there's the least 10% and the highest 10% of odds of what's going to happen. The lowest is they'll only get 87 wins. The highest is they'll get 106 wins.
I am skeptical about that just because their expected record in 2 years where they could have made the playoffs was lower than what it was supposed to be. One of those was an 83-win season. I don't know. 83. It seems like when the expectation is there, They've unfortunately played lower than that via the record outcome.
I'll say this. It seems to me like they have exceeded expectations so far.
Well, I mean, if you think about it this way, Pecota had them projected at 90.5. Baseball Reference now projects it at 97 wins. That's where it gets wild. And again, I know we talked about just the generic offensive number. It's so much more than that, though. It's the extra base hits, for example. It's combining that with how much this team walks. It's the diversified lineup where you have people who can hit now up and down the lineup 1 through 9. But if you thought what you were seeing was good, this is an excellent example of how good they truly can be. So, that's the wild part, too, is 97 wins. That means that they'll have 83 more in addition from today. That's the part where it's mind-blowing.
But is it mind-blowing when you think about all the teams they've played? We know they're opening up a two-game set with the Dodgers. After they see the Dodgers, and again, Shota Imanaga is going on the mound today, so that you feel pretty good about how tonight's game should go, could go, however you want to put it, right?
Well, it's, I mean, it's still the Dodgers.
Yeah, no, it is. You're absolutely right, and he's already faced them before, and he did okay because he didn't give up any
batters.
Yeah, but how many hits did he give up?
Well, zero, but he got pulled because it was, you know, March 3rd or something. It wasn't March 3rd, but you know what I mean.
It was very early. So, bottom line is, they're predicted to get 97 wins, as you said, right now, and that's the most of any team. They don't play in the NL West. Not only do they not play in the NL West, they're almost done dealing with the NL West. And that's the best part of this, is that we worried about them getting through this first month plus through the end of April and having some battle scars. But right now, they've come out on top. They're 14-10. They've already faced the Dodgers, the Giants, Dodgers, Diamondbacks, and the Padres a great deal. So much so, they don't see San Diego or Arizona anymore in the regular season. And after tomorrow, they won't see Los Angeles anymore in the regular season. But
yeah,
you know what? They will get to see the Rockies, who are 4-17 on a couple of series.
I know we've talked about that. I think the better question becomes, when we try to move this forward, you said that 14-17 was okay for you.
Yeah. Tough schedule.
So now that you know they're 14-10, losing seven straight is not okay.
It's definitely
so
not okay.
So how do you readjust what you were saying previously? How's your expectation changed with these last seven games in this stretch?
If they can win three of the next seven, I'm cool. But really not, because four of seven, because they're at home. And so the home thing matters. You know, like, to play eight in a row at home, that you should be able to come away with at least five out of eight wins in that.
Five out of eight wins. So now you're talking 19 wins out of that stretch.
Well, we're already into that stretch a little bit because they played over the weekend. So of the five games left, and then two against the Pirates, right? Yeah. That's how it goes. Dodgers.
I got the schedule right here. It's two against the Dodgers. That's tonight on the Score, 6:40 and 6. Then you have a day off. Then you have the Phillies for three. And then you get into the Pirates game. And I wish that I could say, like, the Pirates games are automatic.
Oh, they got to see Skeens.
But it's not just that. It's that they didn't have these games on lock last season by any means. Part of the reason they missed the playoffs.
I think the Pirates are worse this year than they were last year. Their offense is atrocious. I'll start with that. But I'll say the real series is the Phillies series. That's the Phillies have been playing well.
The real series after the Dodger series is the Phillies series.
Yeah, because it's a three-game set.
Yeah, that's fair, so, and it's at home, which is nice.
Yeah, so handle your business, because again, you only got to see the Phillies a couple of times too. That's the thing. These other teams, these non-division teams, get them all out of the way, and then get into the heart of your division schedule and rack up on those 13 games you face against in-division opponents.
Craig Counsell says the schedule is, everybody's playing the same schedule, but they're still not, because there's still more games against division opponents. This segment is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. I think the better question here is, as we look at this data, and we know the Cubs are right now at the top of the league or near the top in every offensive category you desire, it becomes, is this sustainable? 97 wins is a good reflection of the progress that they have made so far. Is it, however, accurate based on what we know could happen?
Yep.
I think the problem is there's too much issue when it comes to starting pitching, you know, especially when a lot of these guys are leaving so early in games. Four innings is not going to cut it. That's not sustainable for an entire season. We've talked a lot about the Cubs' issues when it comes to the bullpen already. The indication that I think is one of the biggest stats where you could say, you can look at this and it is valid, is what they've done on the last days of series. You know, that's been just as concerning as anything. For example, they're 0-3 in series finales at Wrigley. That's not a coincidence. That shows their lack of pitching depth and what happens on the third day of a series when the bullpen is overused. That's how you get away from a 97-win comp.
I would argue that is a small sample size still, three games at Wrigley. I understand the premise, though, because you're saying it's the last series of games and the pitching's too worn out.
That's been the issue, though, is the last game of these series, the bullpen, you don't necessarily know who's going to go.
True, on the one hand, but like, let's take the most recent series finale. It's not like the bullpen was bad in that series. It's just there wasn't enough offense.
But if guys are only going 4 and 5, then by the time you get to Sunday, you're using an average of like 5 pitchers a day. That's going to affect you on that last day of the series.
Yeah, but I think all teams deal with those issues. In 2025, most teams deal with that being an issue.
Right. Now, it's just other teams trade for a guy at the deadline, or they have more bullpen arms to rotate in and out, or they have more people in their circle of trust.
Well, that's why I think that the 97 wins thing is far from off the table, is because, you know, they just made a trade yesterday. Now, I don't know what Drew Pomeranz is going to bring at age 36 and pitching in AAA to the Cubs specifically. I can't tell you that. He's going to start in Iowa, apparently, which makes me wonder who actually is getting called up for Jordan Wicks, who just got sent down, who did not have the greatest of showings in his brief stint.
But and that's the your point, too.
But
yeah.
I think they can rotate through that, make deals as they become available, and I think they will, even if the offense falls off somewhat. Javier Assad's making another start today, right? And he's going to be somebody who has shown in the past to be able to help at the major league level. They have guys. One thing I said before the season started is it seems like they are stockpiling guys. Now, the quality of the guys they're stockpiling, that can come into question. But at least they are making an effort and recognizing this is a problem. This is a place where we are not up to snuff, per se. And I want to see what happens going forward with those moves from here to AAA and also externally outside the organization.
Ways that the Cubs can keep the 97 win projection solid. Number one, you have to stay hitting at this rate, which is cool. Number two, if Dansby Swanson hits better, which you likely think that's going to happen, that will help because that's another spot in the lineup that is producing. Steal bases like they need to, which has been a manufacturing offense that has helped them. It's the bullpen to me on those third days of series where this, if you know the miles are already happening, that's what makes an extrapolation like this very difficult.
I have some good news on the whole third thing. First of all, they need more production at third base as well. That's first of all. Second of all, best news about the series is there's no third game. Get another day off. Everybody will be nicely rested for the Phillies after 2 off days in 4 days.